I'm white as snow.
I'm white as snow.
In Jesus' blood.
In Jesus' blood.
My sins are gone.
My sins are gone.
It reaches me.
It reaches me.
Oh, wondrous peace.
Oh, wondrous peace.
And love of God.
And love of God.
A deep and sound.
A deep and sound. It shoreless sea. The promise is so ever will include, death all whose sins are still within their heart a deadly foe. Let Jesus wash them white as snow.
I'm white as snow.
I'm white as snow.
In Jesus' blood.
In Jesus' blood.
Reaches me,
it reaches me.
Oh, wondrous peace,
oh, wondrous peace,
and love of God,
and love of God,
a deep and sound,
a deep and sound, it shoreless sea.
We hope that each of you are well and enjoying the blessings of the Lord today. It's a real privilege to be coming your way once again by means of radio. We like to hear from those who enjoy the broadcast. If we may be of any help to you, don't fail to let us know. You may write to us by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. This is Willie Murphy speaking to you. Let us turn now to the book of all books and read a few choice scriptures through the day. I believe it's a good thing for us to be familiar with the Bible and read it often. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, if we desire to have wisdom and understanding, we should seek it from the source of all wisdom, the Word of God, which reveals the plan of God in the Scriptures. But here is what I really want to talk about for a few moments. In John chapter 17 and verse 16, we read the words of our Lord when he was praying just before his crucifixion. He said this, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." He was referring to his disciples who had followed him until this time. Some of them had forsaken their fishing nets. Others had left their occupation. And they had listened to the teachings of our Lord. These teachings had left an impression upon them, and they were made to know that there was a difference between one who followed God and one who lived after his own selfish pleasures, and, of course, to seek the pleasures of the world. You see, the world is made up of two classes of people. There are those who are of the world. They speak concerning the things of the world. They seek the pleasures of the world, and they live for what they can gain in this world. Then, there are the righteous people whom God has saved from the world. They are not of the world, either in spirit, manner of life, or disposition of heart. Their affections are upon things which are above. Their purpose is to serve and please God. To further show that these two classes of people exist, listen to this 14th verse from the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" I believe that verse within itself would prove that both righteous and unrighteous people exist all around us. It is our purpose and duty to set the example that others may see that the richer, fuller life abounds in those who are serving the Lord. To further bring out this contrast, listen to the first two verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now this mentions the spirit of the world which works in the children of disobedience. In other words, those who are unsaved, and who love not the Lord are of the world. They have the spirit of the world, which causes them to think and act in a worldly manner. In contrast to this, listen to the testimony of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter and 2nd verse. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is the spirit of a child of God. His affection tells you to a supreme love for the Savior, which motivates his thoughts and actions. Naturally, these are contrary to the desires of the flesh and of the world. Once again, let us turn to the scriptures, which will even further define the point of separation from the world in the lives of those who seek to please God. This time, I'm reading from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and beginning with verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have brought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Then, as we sum up a few of these things, we see a line which is clearly drawn between those who serve God and those who serve Him not. Their affections, desires, interests, and purposes are different. The purpose of the world is to please and serve self. The purpose of a Christian is to please and serve God. The world values temporal possessions and pleasures. The Christian values eternal things. Listen to this 18th verse of the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. To the world, success means temporal gain, honor, and preferment. To the Christian, success means living a holy life and doing good. I heard a certain individual tell that when his class was ready to graduate from the junior high school, an educated man was the speaker for the occasion. He began to enumerate the things of a scholastic nature which the student would have to know in order to be a success in life. Then a young lady spoke up and asked a question which seemed to be quite puzzling and perplexing for him to answer. She asked, what is success? In other words, she wanted to know, what do you call success? What are you seeking to attain? The speaker thought for a little bit, but he never seemed to come forth with a satisfactory answer to that question. He went on to say, you're going to need these scholastic achievements to be successful in life. Indeed, that would be a stunning question to ask. What do you call success? We might ask ourselves this question. How do we know when we have been successful? Is it when we have attained a certain amount of possessions in this life? Is it success when one has found pleasure in worldly amusements? Friends, let us be honest with ourselves. The answer to these questions is no. Success is not measured in temporal gains or the honor of the world. Success means finding the place which God has for you in life and faithfully performing your duty. Those who are not of the world do not act, talk, nor dress like the world, nor do they seek to find pleasure in worldly things apart from God. Now, lest any should get the impression that this seems a dull and monotonous life, let me assure you, that is not true. It is the happiest life which you could attain in this world, the satisfaction of knowing that you are in the center of the will of God. A young man once said to me, Willie, if going to heaven means that you're going to float around up there and sing and play on a golden harp, I don't want to go there. I guess he liked a little more action than he thought that would be. After thinking for a moment, here is the answer which I gave him. If that is the way you feel about it, you may be sure you will not have to go there. You see, one would be out of place in heaven if they do not first learn to love God and enjoy His service right here in this world. Remember the text, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let us pray. Bless the words of the message to each one tuned to this radio station, and may they learn to know the fullness of joy and satisfaction which comes from a life separated from the world and wholly yielded to Thee, and Thine shall be the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen now to this poem entitled, Through Peace to Life. I do not ask, O Lord, that life should always be a pleasant road. I do not ask that Thou shouldest take from me aught of its load. I do not ask that flowers should always spring beneath my feet. Too well I know the poison and the sting of things too sweet. For one thing only, Lord, dear Lord, I plead, lead me aright. Here now is a song, More About Jesus. It is sung by Lynn Carver, Arnett Carver, Troy Gentry, and Manuel Mitchell.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless you everyone and a very cheerful goodbye.